Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We hope that you will also come to worship us at our worship service this morning. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given meeting times of our services. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You will always be warmly received. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of the Bible. We are concluding near the end of our study of the book of Revelations, and this morning we are looking at Revelation chapter 21. Last week in Revelation chapter 20, we see that the devil was finally dealt with, and he was cast into the lake of fire, and the devil and his angels and all those that were not written in the book of life. And now, in the apocalypse, all that God had deemed to do has been accomplished. The beast and the false prophet and the dragon have all been received their consequences of their actions, and they have been dealt with. And in chapter 20, we saw the dealing with Satan that will take place at the second coming of Christ and at the final resurrection. In chapter number 21, we see that there's going to be a new environment that is reserved and in the future of those who are God's children. In chapter 21, beginning in number verse 1, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." This new beginning is now that Rome has been defeated, the ungodly taken care of, and John sees this new environment and the victorious church after the end of the persecution. Yet it also has a meaning to us today. It is an antitype of heaven. This new place will be ours, because all the earth and the ways of the past will be gone. I want you to notice in this context, the premillennialists try to make this passage say that it's going to be the same earth, but it's going to be renovated. It's going to be purified when God destroys the evil with fire, and then there's going to be utopia on earth where Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. But I want you to notice the context and the reading that we see in chapter 21. It says in the very first verse that the first heaven, the first earth have passed away. The former habitation of man is gone. It has been destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3 will give you the details of that. And so there's no more earth as we know it. The dwelling place of man, flesh and blood, has been destroyed, and there is no more earth. If you remember the beginning of the apocalypse, we had the sea of glass that surrounded the throne. Now there is no more sea of glass. Why? Because now man has direct fellowship with God. But, as some men try to say, they believe that fellowship is on earth. That's not the place where this fellowship will be. This fellowship will be in heaven itself, the home and the residence of God. And it is called the New Jerusalem in verse 2, and is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And in verse 3 we see the tabernacle, that means the dwelling place, will be with God himself, and we will be his children, and he will be our God. But verse 4 is the key to know that this place does not exist on the earth. On the earth we have pain and misery and death and suffering and sickness. But in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, we see a new dwelling place that's unlike anything that we have on earth. Why? Verse 4 says, God will wipe away every tear. There's no more death. Why? Because flesh and blood is no longer in existence. We now have a spiritual body. There's no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Former things have passed away. All of these are gone. Why? Because that previous existence now has been destroyed. And now we are in the dwelling place of God, the place prepared for the faithful, the place prepared for those who love God and have prepared for His return, and those who have been found faithful and written in the book of life, as we read in Revelation chapter number 20. But notice, beginning in verse 5, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. To he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now notice in these verses that we begin in where we begin, with the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end. And he will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is the spiritual thirst that will be quenched for all eternity. But who is it going to be reserved for? It is reserved for those who overcome, those who are faithful, those who do not compromise their faith, and those who are obedient to the very end. And so he will be our God, and we will be his children. And so we see that there's going to be a new relationship, not one that we have in a spiritual sense like we have now, but this is going to be real fellowship. Well, we're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to be in heaven itself, and we're going to be around the throne, and we're going to be able to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And we are going to be in a place where there's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death and no more crying, because evil has been destroyed. It has been cast into the lake of fire. The devil and all of his angels have been destroyed, and now there's only peace and harmony. This place does not exist on the earth, nor will it ever exist on the earth. It is a place reserved that is called heaven. But there's an important statement made in verse number 8. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There are going to be some that are going to be absent from this wonderful scene that's described in verses 1 through 7. Those will be those who are now residing in the lake of fire, which is called the second death. It means eternal separation from God. And you notice there's a list of people here who will be in that place. And most people have no problem understanding the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters. But notice there are two other people mentioned in this group. The cowardly. Who are the cowardly? The cowardly are those who did not have the strength of character, nor the determination or the commitment and the dedication to God to live for him while they lived upon the earth. They too will be in this lake of fire. But there's another group. All liars. What is a liar? A liar is one who does not practice the truth or not tell the truth. The hypocrite would be in this category. The one who says that he loves God, the one who acts like he loves God, the one who portrays outwardly that he's a Christian, but inwardly he serves the devil. He will not be in heaven. He will not have fellowship with God. Why? Because he's a liar. His life's a lie. And so you see, the liar is going to get the same thing that all the evil and immoral people are going to receive for the consequence of their actions. They are going to be punished for all eternity. Now, I know that many people try to dismiss this away and act like this place does not exist. Yet, the Bible clearly teaches that there is such a place. And this place is reserved for the devil and his angels, and for all those who have been disobedient, and those whose names are not written in the book of life. The Revelation letter is quite clear that such a place exists, and it is prepared for those who are unprepared. Now, in the rest of this chapter, we see that the writer John tries to describe the beauty of heaven. And he talks about having the glory of God in verse 11. "Her light was the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." He talks about the great and high walls and the 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the name written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then he talks about the 12 foundations that are on the names of the 12 apostles. And then he talks about the city is laid out as a square, and its length and its great, its breadth, and it's measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs in length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of it, of its walls, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundation of the walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. And he goes forth to list these stones down through verse 20. And the 12 gates, and each individual gate had one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass. In all of these descriptions, John is trying in the best that he can describe the beauty, the splendor, and the majesty of this place called heaven in words and descriptions of things that our minds can comprehend and understand. These precious stones, and the beauty, and the splendor, and the majesty, and the golden streets, and the pearls on the gates, and the names of the faithful of the ages gone by. All this is given in a picturesque image that we would get some concept of how beauty and how majestic and how splendor this new dwelling place is going to be. And then in verse 22 it says, But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There will be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What we see in the end of this passage is we see a description of the beauty and the splendor of heaven. There's no temple there. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. There's no need of the sun nor the moon. Why? Because the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb is its light. And all the nations and of the faithful and all the saved of all ages bring their glory and honor into this place. And verse 27 assures us that there will be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, or only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Dear listener, this place is not talking about the 1,000-year reign on earth. It's not talking about a purified earth. It's not talking about a new dwelling place on the earth. This is talking about heaven itself, the place prepared for the prepared people of God, the place prepared for those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we see that the final victory of Rome and the end of Rome, as it is brought down by the God of heaven to show that he is in control, and the faithful martyrs and those who have not compromised their faith have this to look forward to. But not just those who were persecuted in Rome, but to all of God's children who suffered through trials and tribulations and difficulties in life. At the end of the journey, there is a reward for the faithful. There is a place prepared by God that we might be in his presence and have eternal fellowship with him from time without end. Yes, heaven exists, but so does hell. Men must make some decisions, whether they want their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life or they want to be cast into the lake of fire. Men make the choice. God will give them what they choose on the day of judgment. Dear listener, which are you choosing? Tune in again next week.